Blog Talk Radio.
I was sitting in the kitchen and I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? I have all these responsibilities, all this going on, and it seems like I'm doing everything I can for you and everything is just going opposite. Anybody ever been there where it seems like you were doing all you knew to do and still you took 2 steps forward and you took 5 steps back and you said, you're saying, God, what in the world is going on? And I was sitting in my kitchen and I didn't understand it. And then these words came. I said, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good.
Lift your voice. Come on, tell him today.
You've been so good to me.
You are good.
Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough.
It's because I owe you, Jesus.
I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Somebody say, even if I tried, it wouldn't work. I was sitting over the dishes with tears in my eyes. And I had to declare out of the hard place that you still been better. I can never repay you, Lord. I can never repay you, Lord. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loose my shackles and how you set me free. How you made a way when there was no way. How you made a way when there was no way. How you made a way, Shepherd, when there was no way, oh God. You made a way. Cause you've been so good.
Come on, lift it up.
You've been so good.
Right there, right there. Let them hear your heart in that tonight.
You've been so good.
When I almost lost my mind,
you've been.
When the enemy came in like a flood,
you've been so good.
Everybody lift your voice and say,
so good.
Radio Network, founded by Stacy Lunsford. I am your host for today. My name is Minister Taisha Thompson, and I will be presenting to you today, this afternoon, the story and narrative of Christ Jesus, the special edition of what God has done when he brought Jesus Christ into the earth. And the reason why we are celebrating this Advent season, Advent meaning coming or arrival, because Christ has already came. And how many know if when Christ came, he came as Savior of the world. He came as King of all, the King, and ruler of everything. And because of what God has done for us, we are celebrating the birth of Christ. Although Christmas is such a good season to enjoy family and friends and loved ones, but also it's good to know how this season was established, and it was established upon Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. And just a reflection before I get into the narrative of Jesus Christ, just a few pointers I want to make. It's going to be five parts. Put into five parts, and you will know the five parts because I'll say it after a poll. And also to know that the birth of Christ Jesus was one of the most amazing works God has ever done. It was the greatest miracle God has ever pushed forth, because in him bringing Christ Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, and as our King, we now are able to experience a new life, a different life. And that life only came because of what Christ has done for us. So as I begin, I encourage you to sit back and relax and enjoy as the narrative of our King, Christ Jesus, becomes revealed and unfolded before your eyes. The first segment, the birthing pain. As a woman prepares for the birth of her child, so has God prepared Israel for the birth of his son. And just like a woman who is in labor, who is in the birthing position because a child is soon to come, so has God placed Israel in a birthing position for 4 centuries in preparation for the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The 4 centuries representing the space between the Old and New Testament. For 4 centuries has Israel been in labor, getting ready to give birth to the Son of God. And just like a woman in delivery has birthing pain, so has Israel experienced labor pain in giving birth to the Messiah, the eternal King of glory. Since the captivity of Judah to Babylon and the fall of Israel, it has been said that a king will arise from the throne of David to establish the kingdom of Israel. However, there has been no evidence, no solid proof, no sign of hope for 4 centuries. Instead, it has been utter dismay and downfall and downhill for them. Although the temple was restored and the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt, Israel never regained kingship. A king was never placed back on the throne. Instead, Israel became conquered by the Persians and the Greeks and the Roman Empire. And to top it off, their birthing of the Messiah led to an even greater contraction. For destruction came yet again when the temple was desecrated by Antiochus the Fourth in 167 BC, which afterwards led to the revolt taking place, traditions being reinstated, and attempts being made in seeking to regain the kingdom of Israel. But none of these things were successful until now. For in the process of time, a birth has come. A turn of a century has arrived, and a turn of events has conspired. Now has the time finally came in which God saw fit to bring forth his son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. chapter 2, born of a prophecy, born of prophecy. Born of a Jewish descent, the Messiah said to come, for it has been granted to the Jewish lineage to be the one nation who will give birth to a child, not just any child, but a son, his seed, the offspring of God. For to us representing the nation of Israel, has a promise been made. To us, the nation of Israel, has God brought forth a child, the Messiah, the King, from their womb. To us, the nation of Israel, has God given a son, the Son of God, as their own. For God promised Abraham a seed, and not seeds as in many, but one who is Christ Jesus. For the whole intent of the covenant of Abraham was to bring forth a son, the promise of God, in which God's complete inheritance will be given, a prediction that has been kept secret until the coming of Christ, that has been held in the bosom of God until now. For it has been said, the son of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, is the promised one. For God handpicked and selected the nation of Israel to be the ones who will plant his glory in the earth, in order that his glory will spring forth. For God has handpicked the nation of Israel to be the one who would plant his glory in the earth, in order that his glory would spring forth. A proclamation that was foretold by the prophets and foreseen by the elders. This prophecy that is told to come, this child that is said to be born will be the Savior of the world. This son that has been prophesied to be given as a gift from God to the world has now arrived. He's here. He's here. For prophecy has now been fulfilled. A child is now born. A son is now given. Chapter 3, Segment 3, Born of a Virgin. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and will give birth to a son. Immaculate conception will take place. For Christ our Savior will be born of a virgin woman. The Messiah, the reigning King, will take on the flesh of man, the form of a servant, the body of a human being, for Mary is a symbol of Israel, the virgin woman, who God ordained before the foundation of the world to bring forth his son into the earth. And by this woman will all man be saved. As the angel Gabriel visits Mary to inform her of the good news that is to come, he sends Mary greetings from heaven above and lets her know the favor of God has now shined upon you. The grace of our Lord, our God, has been extended towards you. For God has now fulfilled his promise and kept his word. His child will be born of a virgin. Mary, the virgin, will be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she will conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, the Son of God. She will carry him and birth him for the sins of the world. Immaculate conception is the way, a miraculous birth that entails a supernatural conception. For God is holy and clean and seeks a clean vessel in order to bring forth his seed, the seed that is not produced by the seed of a man, but the seed of the divine, making Jesus humanly divine. Else man will obtain the glory for themselves, credit that is only due to God and to God alone. For this immaculate conception, witness of Christ, the human nature of his mother and divine nature of his father, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was therefore born of God by a virgin woman. Part 4, Chapter 4, Born of the Holy Spirit. I am from above, are the words Jesus uttered to the crowd, words that confirm the truth that Angel Gabriel spoke to Mary concerning her pregnancy, as the angel of the Lord stated, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And for that reason shall the Holy Child called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God, be born, a name only contributed to the coming Messiah, a truth that brings light to the identity of Christ. For Christ is said to be the sent one. But if Christ was sent, where did he first come from? For he has come from above. He is not of this world. Therefore, he is not subject to the ordinance of this world, but when he came, he voluntarily submitted himself to the regulations of this world in obedience to the Father's will by putting on a body, and in doing so, he willingly humbled himself. For Christ is God in the flesh, the image of the invisible God, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. For he is the spiritual being in which we worship, who gets his identity from his Father who is in heaven, a proclamation he so often testifies as my Father. Yes, he said it. God is my Father, making him equal to God. I am saying this because so often Jesus is referenced in this world as a societal icon, either a white man, a black man, a Mexican, or an Asian, which strips him of his divine nature, for he is neither black nor white. He is a Jew, and a Jew is neither black or white, but of the circumcision, set apart for a divine purpose. They have been marked for a specific task, and their task was to bring forth, to give birth to the Messiah, the eternal reigning king. Part four. Born a king, the king. Where is he who was born the king of the Jews? A statement that rattled the feathers of King Herod, since King Herod stood in the position as the king of the Jews. A title King Herod obtained from a man, for a Roman emperor, and appointed King Herod as king of the Jews, by which he was a sign to reign over Israel. Now King Herod was a sign and appointed king by man, but how many of us know, unlike King Herod, Jesus the Christ was born a king. He was not assigned by man nor by flesh. Since King Herod was appointed king by man, he had to answer to the one who appointed him. But Jesus, who was not appointed by any man, had to answer to no one, for he is not subject to any man, but was not appointed, because he was not appointed by man nor anointed by man, but was born a king, the king. I think that terrorized the heart of Herod as the news of the three wise men came to him, jeopardizing his rule, a truth that led to King Herod's authorization to kill off all the male children that were born in Bethlehem. Yet God saw provision in advance and gave a way of escape to Mary, Joseph, and the young child, the Messiah, who fled to Egypt. For the one who was born king is the true authorized king who comes from the seed of David. The son of David was a term used to signify Christ, the Messiah, the coming one, the male child who will be raised up from the offspring of David and sit upon his throne to rule. He is the promised king. God swore will come to David, the eternal king whose kingdom will be established forever. Son of David, son of David, son of David is who we call him. And in calling him the son of David, is affirming him as king. For many Jews were not supporters of King Herod because he was a half Jew. Although King Herod wanted to be considered the Messiah, he was not from the descendant of David. Therefore, he was ineligible to be the Messiah because he came not from the royal lineage, as Jesus Christ was born from the lineage of David. For to us, the male child is born and is given and is seated and will be seated on his throne. As the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph as the son of David, calling Joseph the son of David, and confirmed to Mary the male child in which she will give birth to in her womb, so it also witnessed of Jesus Christ as the son of David, the true king of Israel. For this son in Mary's womb in which she will bring forth shall be called Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father, David, and he shall reign forever, the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. The fifth segment, the fifth chapter, the birth of our king. The birth of our king was not an ordinary conception. It was not some random event, but a prominent birth that changed the trajectory of time. For the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has redefined the world as we know it. It has impacted the culture in which we live and the culture that has been more than what we think. Even time itself has changed due to the birth of our King. As time has moved from BC, before Christ, to AD, Anadimanio, meaning in the year of the Lord who will reign forever. Even the world and all of creation await and anticipate the glory that will be revealed. As the glory of God, the King of glory, has been planted upon the earth, so will his offspring be like him. Those who trust and believe in the Son of God, who is Christ Jesus, Christ representing not just a name, but a title given to the coming one of Israel, the ruler of God's people, the ruler of all, who will come and save us from our sins and instate the kingdom of God. The reestablishment of the kingdom, the rule of God, has now taken effect. How many of us believe that the reestablishment of the kingdom of God has now taken effect? And in the fullness of time, the kingdom of God, which is not subject to man nor the earth, will come in glory and absolute rule and overthrow the kingdoms of this world. For as Jesus has said, it is not my time yet. When he was dying on the cross and when he walked the earth, he said to his disciples and to his people and to all that have heard him, it is not my time yet. It was not his time to reign over the earth, but to die as a victim, as a slaughter who was presented as a sacrificial offering to the world. However, Jesus Christ's time may not have been then, but it is now and will be, in which the ultimate rule of Christ Jesus the King will shake and shatter the world in his return, as he will return conquering and to conquer as we, his people, await his return. But for now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords seek to enthrone the embodiment of his people so that he may reign graciously over them. I hope that you enjoyed this special edition as I have unfolded and given revelation of what we are celebrating tomorrow. For Christmas is no Christmas without Christ. It is because Christ Jesus came to the earth. It is because God chose to take on the form of a man, we have eternal life. And to present any message on Christmas that does not speak of the birth of Christ is not a true and genuine message and gospel and story, because Christ Jesus is the center. He's the center of it all. And it's because of him we have life and life more abundantly. And so now I'm going to hand it over to Stacy Lunsford, because I'm aware that there are some people on the prayer line. So if you want to, and perhaps you're listening in, and you want to also share or express, maybe give a testimony of God. If you would like to give a testimony of God and how Jesus Christ has impacted your life, feel free. Go ahead, Stacy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Minister Taisha for this wonderful narration of the birth of a king. If you are listening and you have a comment, a praise report or testimony or anything that you would like to share about the 5-6 segments that she just shared about the birth of a king, please press £1 and Minister Taisha will be more than happy to speak with you. And I just want to say, God bless you, woman of God. I have thoroughly enjoyed your message. And it's very important that we understand that Jesus is the reason for the season. And I love how you said the birth of a king. And you identified that he was not a black man, he was not a white man, he was a Jew. And I'm taking the time to highlight that, because we get caught up in pictures, we get caught up in colors, we get caught up in nationalities, and Jesus came to save this world. And Jesus came for white people. Jesus came for black people. Jesus came for red, yellow, purple. Jesus came for all people. And this holiday season, in which the world celebrates Christmas, and we say Merry Christmas, and we have some people that say Merry Xmas, and they don't even say Christmas because Christ is there. But this is a birthday celebration. The title of this narrative was The Birth of a King. So tomorrow, Minister Taisha, which I've been saying it all week because I've been celebrating the birth of my king all week long. But we are celebrating his birthday, and it's about him. And it's about everything that you just talked about. He was born of a virgin, and her name was Mary. And Mary endured so much. We love to talk about Jesus during his birth, and that's wonderful. But I love the time that you took to talk about Mary and the Immaculate Conception. It is the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary. But Mary went through some things. And Mary got acquainted with rejection at a very
very tender point in her life when she was carrying the Messiah, the King of Kings. So I'm not trying to preach a message, but, you know, her story just really stands out to me because Jesus was rejected. And out of everything that you talked about, this is a time for us to remember why Jesus came into this earth. This is a time for us to remember why he traveled through the birth canal of a woman named Mary who was a virgin. This is a time for us to remember why God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, we could celebrate the gifts, and then given the gifts, we could, you know, we're giving joy and we're celebrating, but let's not forget why Minister Taisha did this narrative on the birth of a king. This is a monumental message. This is a message that I pray will bless a lot of people and that it will encourage them to go to the Word of God. And all in the book of the Gospels, you could read about Jesus' birth and you could read the different narrations of his birth. But what stood out to you in this message? What did Minister Taisha say that touched your heart, that made you say, I want to learn more about Jesus. I want to learn more about his birth. I want to learn more about his mother. I want to learn more about his purpose. And somebody may be listening, Minister Taisha, and they may not know Jesus. And if that's the case, we will give you an opportunity to meet him. But the last thing I'm going to say is that the reason I mentioned Mary and the rejection she felt because she carried Jesus in her belly. Now, Jesus, on his debut, before he entered into this world, he was rejected. The world didn't have room for him. And he was born in a manger. So can you imagine how his mother felt? Even though she was rejected, she didn't let that stop her from doing what she needed to do because, Minister Taisha, you was talking about travailing. And you know, when a woman is about to give birth, she just wanted to get to a comfortable place. And once they got there and Jesus was born, we know the rest of the story. So whoever is travailing today, and I'm not talking about because you're giving physical birth, but for those of us that have been travailing in the spirit and those of us that have been preparing for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, help us spread the gospel by sharing this message that she preached today, that she shared today. Dig deeper into the Word of God for yourself and learn about who Jesus is and why he is a king of all kings. Jesus died for the remission of our sins. So this Christmas, it's not about the gifts, but it's about the birth of a king. And let's remember him. Let's honor him. Let's reverence him. So, Minister Taisha, I'm going to turn it back over to you, but that's, you know, my heart is pricked by your message because I was listening carefully. And I felt the anointing. I feel the anointing now. We forgot about Jesus. You know, holidays, they started preparing before Thanksgiving was even over. They all started, you know, all of the Christmas, all of the celebrations, all of the stuff in the store. But what about Jesus? All of the Christmas lights, all of the decorations. I don't see nobody talking about Jesus. So you did that tonight, this afternoon. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'll turn it back over to you.
Yes, and then if you're on listening in or whether it be the internet or by phone and you really want to make a comment or you have a question about anything that I've said, and I made a point that you may not understand and you need clarity, please press 1, pound 1, or star 1, right? star one, and then we'll connect you. And I also want to bring out, because not just Mary, because the first segment I may have went over people's head, because you don't really hear people talk about the birthing pain Israel, God's people, had to go through. And birthing the Messiah through the nation of Israel had caused them to encounter birthing pain like no one has done before. It caused them to also, they were also in the birthing position to birth Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah and the King. And we know that in them birthing Israel, because Mary, who is the virgin woman, we got to remember, Mary, who is the virgin woman, represents and is representing Israel. So to speak of Mary in absence of Israel, you can really lose the whole concept of what God is saying, because it wasn't just in one, which it was in one, but it wasn't. And so Israel, encountered a lot. And that was a pleasure of sitting under one of my pastors, who every year I went to church, he really brought a lot of attention to the Advent season. And he began the first Sunday of December really opening our eyes of what the Advent season was, which represents the four centuries that divided the Old Testament from the New Testament. But we know, even though some may say that it was silent, we know that it wasn't silent, but in the four centuries was Israel in a birthing position, getting ready to birth the Messiah, because at the time, there was no king ruling. There was no king over Israel. They were awaiting the king because of their captivity. Once they came out of captivity with the Babylon, they then became under the Persians, and from the Persians, the Greeks, and from the Greeks, the Roman Empire. And from then, they did not have a king over them. Although King Herod was set up by a Roman Empire, a Roman emperor, he wasn't truly received as their king. He was appointed as their king, but the Jewish people did not receive him as their king. And that's important to know, because God is about to birth something on the earth, and it is in labor. The earth is in labor. His people are in labor because we are about to birth something into this world that's going to usher in the return of Christ. The return of Christ. And I do want to give, because I know I went over a lot of scriptures and I said a lot of scriptures, so I want to also give some the scriptural references in which I use. I use my study Bible as well, a section of my study Bible. I used the dictionary to really get understanding of King Herod. And also use scriptures, supporting scriptures from John 16:3, Galatians 3:16, Isaiah 7:14, and also Isaiah 9:6. Oh, okay. So John 6:16:3. But before I go into the scriptures, Stacy, if you want to come on and share what you have to share.
I just wanted to highlight a moment, because when you mentioned the Advent and your first session of the narration was excellent, and a lot of people are not knowledgeable in that area, and I think you did a phenomenal job on that section. And I just want to say that Advent means coming.
Coming or arrival, yeah.
Yes, and the Greek word is parousia, but when we read in Luke, the first chapter, John the Baptist, when he was, Mary was pregnant with Jesus, well, that's when she learned she was going to be pregnant with Jesus, but Elizabeth, her cousin was pregnant with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus.
Yes, he did.
And so when you after I talked about, those of us that are travailing, my eyes had actually watered up with tears because I feel it in my spirit, Minister Taisha. Mm-hmm. And your message was really, really good. But God is calling us to get in position, because just like John the Baptist prepared the way for the arrival of the King of Kings, mm-hmm. that's what we are doing here on this earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew 2:1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem near Jerusalem during the reign of King Herod. After Jesus' birth, a group of spiritual priests from the east came to Jerusalem. And we know them today, as the three wise men. But they came. And so while you was talking about, the Advent and the travailing, how this earth is travailing, this world is waiting for us, believers, disciples of Christ, everybody that say we have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior. Hello, get this memo today. It's not about Merry Christmas. It's about Jesus. Jesus is coming back, and we need to take this time to win souls for Christ. And we can do that while we celebrate. I'm not saying we cannot, stop the celebrations, but let's be mindful. Yes. Minister Taisha, let's remember Jesus, why we are celebrating and why the world is travailing. So many people are waiting for the sons of God to get into position. So will the John the Baptist of the 21st century rise up? Can we prepare the way? Can we endure the suffering that we're going to go through as we travail in preparing the way? So that's what I wanted to share. Jesus is coming back, and there's still room. There's still room. We need to celebrate him on a daily basis, not just one day of the year. Everything we do, everything we say, even as ministers of the gospel, we should always be bringing the people back to Jesus. Because from Genesis to Revelations, it was about Jesus.
I just encourage everyone that is listening, whether you're listening on the internet or whether you're listening on the phone, this is a wonderful time for you to present any questions you may have to Minister Taisha, and she will answer your questions. If you have a prayer request, call in and she will pray with you. But she is a very knowledgeable woman of God in the Word of God. She's a phenomenal teacher, and she's going to provide her contact information, her email, if you want to get in contact with her. She has a wonderful ministry. She has a Bible-believing and a Bible-teaching ministry, and she ministers the unadulterated Word of God. So, and I just wanted to take that time to honor you, woman of God, because you took the time to honor the King of Kings. And thank you for all that you do on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We're blessed and honored to have you. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Praise God. Just a side note, I probably added a chapter to that or a segment to that, talking about the preparation for a king, because one of the things that is done in history is that whenever a king comes into town, the town foreknew about it because they had to get themselves ready for him, because you cannot come before a king, be seen by a king, in any manner, any type of manner. It has to be in a presentable way. And that's why I wish I would, but God gave you that revelation, but because that was a good revelation that you just shared about John the Baptist, how he prepared the way of the Lord, how he was getting people in preparation for the king, the Messiah to come. And I don't want to forget how what makes the Messiah distinct from any other kings is that other kings were appointed and anointed. Even King David was anointed king. King Saul was anointed king, which is nothing wrong. Of course, God anointed, the Holy Spirit came upon them, but they were also anointed by a man. But Jesus is so unique and distinct because he was born in the world as a king.
Yes.
He was planted before the foundation. He was planted in Mary's womb. In her womb, he was a king. And that gives us clarity on the distinction of Jesus, the Messiah, compared to others, because Jesus, the Messiah, was not appointed by man.
Yeah.
He came from God. And not only did he come from God, he is God. He is God.
Can I say just one thing when you said that?
Because John 1:1, it says, in the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God.
Fully God.
And that's the Passion Translation. But the King James Version says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has already, he's been here. In the beginning, Jesus.
Yes.
But when you said that, that scripture just came in my heart.
No, and also have, because you asked for some other references, because Colossians 1, verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And what does that mean when it says the image of the invisible God? He's really God made visible. And when you even look at John 1:16, when it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, well, just like you said, John 1:1, the word was God and is God. So God became flesh.
Yes.
And dwelt among us. And then Hebrews 1:3 says, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He is the person. He is the person. He is God. He is God. And some other scriptures that I spoke of was John 16:3, which tells of a woman who's in labor. A woman in labor. Galatians 3:16, which talks about how Jesus is also the son of Abraham. What does that mean when the scripture refers to Jesus as the son of Abraham? He has so many titles. But what that specifically means is he's the son of the promise. He is the promised son. And the promised son was not many, but really one. And that one in which God was referring to is Jesus. Isaiah 7:14, which tells us that he will be born of a virgin woman. And that is a sign. It's a sign. It's letting us know that the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin woman, it's a clear sign that he was the Messiah. And as they wrote the Gospels, they were truly reiterating the story of his birth, not just his birth, but his life and ministry on earth, to his followers, and they purposely put that in the text because those who are from the Jewish descent, they would have known if he was from a virgin, then he is definitely and absolutely the Messiah. And then Isaiah 9:6, which basically our base scripture is come for to us, a child is born to us, a son is given. John 1:11, I just spoke of. Also, John 8:23, which lets us know that Jesus himself says, I am from above. What is he saying when he says, I am from above? And y'all are from below. Y'all, not saying that they were beneath him, but in reality they were, because he wasn't born from a man. He was born from God. And he came from God. Luke 1:35 and 1:32-33, which are basically the narratives, and Matthew 1:20, which are basically the narratives of the story of Jesus' birth. And then Romans 8:19, which talks about how creation is yearning, is waiting, is eagerly waiting, like you said, for us to get in position to now birth again, but birthing the kingdom of God. Because in Christ's first coming, he came as a servant. He came as a victim. But when he comes back, he's not coming in the same way he came before. He's coming as a conqueror. And he's coming to conquer. Because the first was for us. The next will be for the establishment of the kingdom of God as a whole. Because we do see the kingdom of God in part. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you live for Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has now been, you've been now able to access the kingdom of God. But soon it will be in full force. And then again, Colossians 1:15 and Hebrews 1:3. Are some scriptures and references that I used. Well, let me get this book as well. And then I also used the book to just look at the history of some of the things that took place. And it was the Oxford Companion to the Bible, which I used a little as some references. But it's so important to know the season that we are in, considering the fact that we are moving into 2020. And I heard a man of God say, it's not just a new year, it's a new decade. And God does use time as signs for his people, signs for us. He used it as signs. So just to be encouraged to know that the king has come, but he is coming again. He will return. Any comments, Stacy?
No, just want to say again that you did a wonderful job. There's a lot of history, a lot of scriptures to read about Jesus, his birth, his arrival into this world. And I don't know, Minister Taisha, but I want to know him better. And I want to get closer to him. And, you know, the last Sunday where we took communion at church, that communion was really, really special to me because of where I am in my relationship with Jesus. And I'm taking the time to say that because Jesus is real. Jesus, he died on the cross for us, but he came and he walked this world just like we do. And he endured many things and he overcame and he gave us that same ability, but something in my heart changed that last communion. And from that day clear up to today, I had purposed in my heart to get to know Jesus better. And so I've been reading more about his life. And I love the Gospels because all four books of the Gospel, we could learn about Jesus. We could learn how Jesus went alone to pray. You know, the miracles he performed. But what I love the most is just learning about his character, Minister Taisha, because Jesus is coming back. Yes, he's coming back. But what is he coming back for? And what is he coming to? How is he going to find us? Are we going to be ready? If Jesus came back tonight, how many of us could say that we would honestly be ready? What is the condition of our heart? If you're standing in your living room, gathered around the Christmas tree, singing Christmas carols,
And all of a sudden, your wife is taken. Your daughter is taken. People just start disappearing from around the tree. How will you feel if you're still standing there and they're gone? And you know that Jesus came and took them. What are you going to do if you laying on your sick bed listening to this message, but you haven't made up your mind that Jesus is real to you and you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior? And we're not the type of ministers or servants where we want to scare you and say, repent, or you're going to go to hell. No, that's not what today is all about. But today is about Jesus. And now you have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life as Lord and personal Savior. Jesus is coming back. And we have time to get ready before he comes back. Because at the end of the day, we are all going to die a physical death. And we are going to leave these earthly bodies. But we are going to live again eternally. And if you do not accept Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and personal Savior, you are going to live eternally in the lake of fire where you are going to burn and burn and burn. And there will be no relief. There will be no water. There will be no comfort. There will be gnashing of teeth. It's not a really comfortable place to be. But when you reject Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. But when you accept Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and personal Savior, you will live eternally in heaven with God. You will see Jesus. And it's an old song that says, oh, I want to see him look upon his face. But Minister Taisha, I want to see him again. In this message, we just have to open up, you know, extend the invitation. And I want to, you know, ask you to do the honors since you delivered the message today. And I just want to give everyone an opportunity to just take a moment to reflect on your personal relationship with God. And in this season that we are in, it's a wonderful time for those that do know Jesus, but you know you haven't been walking closely with him. Some of you have walked away from him. So for those that are in a backslidden stage, maybe you made a mistake or you did something and you didn't think Jesus would forgive you, God would restore you. Well, he is a forgiving God. And today is your opportunity to repent and to return and to get right with God, to get right with Jesus before he comes back. So what is stopping you? What is blocking you? What is hindering you from surrendering to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Because there is safety in Jesus. He is our ark of safety. He is our shield. He is our protection, our protector. He is our refuge. And God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for us. So will you accept Jesus today, Minister Taisha?
Amen, amen. Thank you for that. And as we come to the close of this segment, I just want to do a brief overview of the narrative of Christ, in which the first segment was on the birthing pain, how Israel had to go through a lot of pain and contractions and birthing the Messiah, who is the eternal King of Glory. And in that, in the pain that they have went through, in the laboring they have been through, have now the Messiah come, King. And also the second part of it, which is born of a prophecy, and to know that it was said, it was prophesied, it was foretold, it was foreseen that the Messiah is going to come through the nation of Israel, the lineage of Judah, and how God handpicked Israel for that, to plant his glory in the earth in order that his glory will spring forth. And what has been prophesied has now been birthed. And the third segment, which is born of a virgin, and how Jesus was born of a virgin. And because he was born of a virgin, it symbolizes the immaculate conception in which God had done when he impregnated Mary with the Holy Spirit. And in her being impregnated with the Holy Spirit, she conceived in her womb the Son of God, for it was a miraculous birth that entails a supernatural conception. And the fourth chapter, which was born of the Holy Spirit, which lets us know that Jesus was born from above. He was not born from the seed of a man, but the seed of God. And the fifth element, or fifth chapter, born king, how Jesus was an appointed king. He wasn't anointed by man to be king, but in his womb, in Mary's womb, was he born king. And I added this, I didn't put any background notes to it, but I liked how Stacy brought out the preparation for the king, how God saw fit to bring John the Baptist as his herald, as his forerunner, to get ready the people for the king. And the last one, the birth of our king, the birth of our king. It is through the birth of our king that even time itself has changed. Life itself has changed. The earth has shifted because of his birth. And it is very evident even in our time of how before Christ it was BC, but now we're living in AD. AD meaning is a Latin word that means anno domino, which means in the year of the Lord, which is speaking of how we get to experience and taste, get a taste of the kingdom of God here now and on earth as the Lord seek to enthrone the embodiment of his people so that he may reign graciously over them. What is that saying? How God is seeking to rule. Embodiment means embody his people that he may reign over him. So I just want to reiterate what Stacy has said about knowing Christ. And if you don't know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, we welcome you to get connected to him so that you can get connected to what God is birthing now upon the earth. and those who are already connected and are birthing in the birthing position, we encourage you to keep the faith. For yet in a little while, all things will be made new. For yet in a little while, what is not clear will be explained. And so I hope that you were blessed by this series, by this special edition on the narrative of the birth of the king, who is our king, the king. He is not just a king. He is the king. The birth of the king. I hope you were blessed by this segment. I'm going to close in prayer. And pray that you will be blessed this season. And to just, is it a reminder, right? It's not to put you down, but a reminder of what Christ has done and the true meaning for the season. And that's why we give gifts. That's why we show love. That's why we spend time with our family, because of the gift that keeps on giving, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. And so, you know, if you want to get connected to me, my email address is TyeshaThompson@msn.com. It is spelled TyeshaThompson. @msn.com. There is no abbreviations, no spaces, just Taisha Thompson at msn.com. TyeshaThompson at msn.com. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, into the earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this birth that has been brought forth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your son that you have given us, the Son of God, so that we may have life and life abundantly. I pray for all those that are on the prayer line. I pray that you cover them. I pray that you cover their family. I pray that you bless them this season. Provide for them this season. Make a way for them this season. And truly open their eyes to see you. To see you like never before. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for the new year that is to come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that although there was many said to be the Messiah prior to Christ, yet none of them was your stamp of approval. But yet our Lord and Savior have you approved. And we receive this gift. We thank you for this gift. And those who may not know him, in the pardoning of their sins, I ask that you repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe you sent your son as king, and I receive your son as king, as Lord, and as Savior. I believe he died for my sins. As I confess my sins, trusting and believing that you will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I thank you for the gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, as those who have said this prayer with a true heart and a repentant heart, I pray that you fill them with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. It is because of Jesus' birth as God, and it is because of the Holy Spirit coming upon and overshadowing Mary that we are born again, that we are new creations. We are born of God. We are a distinct of a new man. And we hold dearly the identity we have in Christ Jesus. We hold it dearly until the end. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you for all that you're doing and all that you will do. Truly bless us this day, bless us this hour, bless us this season, bless us with the joy that has come to the world. We thank you for your joy as we praise you for all that you have done, for great and mighty are your works, O God. Until the end and throughout eternity, great are your works, O God, and great is your love that you have towards us. We bless you, we praise you, and we honor you. And it is in Jesus' name, amen. And if you decide to send me, I thank you for joining me, Minister Taisha Thompson, as I have brought forth a special edition of the narrative of Christ Jesus. Thank you for joining me. And if you send me an email, please note where you're sending it from and the subject so I know exactly who you are and I won't mistaken you as junk mail. So please, if you plan to send anything to me through email, please just make it in the subject. Please put in the subject who you are, and just say that you're from Eloquently Speaking Radio Network or you're associated with Stacy Lunsford. We appreciate you. We thank you for joining us this afternoon, this holiday season, this Christmas Eve, to present to you the birth of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, if you want to continue to follow me, you can join me the third of each Sunday as I deliver and do a Bible study, which starts at 7 p.m. And you'll hear more from me because I thank God for Stacy Lunsford and just the fellowship and the opportunity to truly minister with Stacy Lunsford. It's a blessing. So you will hear more from me and work that Stacy has for us, or perhaps God lays on my heart something and the time is available. But I know for a fact, the third Sunday of each month, join me for Bible study as we open the Word of God. Truly hope you were blessed and encouraged. You enjoy your holiday season. God bless you. Amen.